Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to start in the 13th verse. And if you don't care, if you'll stand, if you're willing and able for the honor of reading God's word, we'll get right into the scripture here this morning and continue on with our series, Belong. So Ephesians 2 and 13 here, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off," he's speaking to the Gentiles here, "have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace," that's talking about Jesus, who has made us both one," speaking to the Jews and the Gentiles, "and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he," Jesus, "came and preached peace to you who were far off," which were the Gentiles, "and peace to those who were near," which were the Jews. For through him, Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've blessed us with once again. We ask you, Lord, to be with us during this hour of service, that your Spirit would be in the midst, Lord Father, and would speak to each and every one of us. We know there's many here this morning that are dealing with a lot of things that are going on in life, and we pray, God, that you would just speak to them. For someone here that's lost, that needs this wonderful gift of salvation, we ask you, Lord, to talk to them this morning, that they'll come down to an altar of repentance and receive this great gift. Lord, we understand the strict judgment upon our life of rightly dividing your word, and we accept that place here this morning. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So he was speaking to the Gentile believers who had been brought into the household of faith. And we're going to continue in our series. It's called Belong. And we've been talking about the church and focusing on the aspect of church. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about whose idea was the church and why. So we found out that it was God's idea, and it was to gather his people so that his people might be redeemed. And his people that I'm talking about is his church. So that's the who and the why. And then last week, if some of you weren't here, hopefully you got to listen to the message either by live streaming as it was cutting out, or the repost on Sunday afternoon. The message Pastor Grant preached, it talked about who leads the church. And Jesus is the one who leads the church. And he places leaders in charge of the church here in this earth, okay? So Jesus is the one who leads the church. And this week we're going to talk about why be a part of a church. Why be a part of the church? So in today, I don't know if you guys sense this, but it seems like in today's culture, generation, society, what you hear a lot about is everybody seems to want to be a part of a movement or a cause. Everybody wants to be a part of some movement or some cause. Everybody wants to join this. They want to be a political activist or a social activist, or make awareness of this, or they want to stand for this and fight for the rights of that. It seems like it's just sweeping our nation. And it's sad to say that there's movements out there that, I tell you what, there's some sick movements that was even put into law this week that absolutely we ought, that America people should be ashamed that a law could be signed to kill a baby. That's nonsense. That should not ever happen whatsoever. God is not pleased with that whatsoever. But these people get excited about these movements, and they join, though, when they were signed. They're just smirking and signing things into law, and it makes no sense. But they get this notion of this movement or this cause. And it's amazing to watch individuals. I've seen friends of my own. I've seen family members. And just if you will observe in your kids, if you're in school, if you'll just watch and look, and if you're at your workplace, everybody want they'll spend all their time and their energy and everything that they've got for a movement or a cause. And they'll just fight and they'll argue and they'll argue over this is it, this is it, this is the movement, this is the cause that you should join. Now granted, don't get me wrong, there's some good causes out there. And there's some good movements out there. But I think it's time for us, the church, and individuals, if you say you're Christians, and just individuals, if you're just living in this world, it's time for us to sit back and to ask some questions. And there's some legitimate questions here that we've wrote down that we think that seems pretty reasonable about any movement or any cause. If we'll just ask these questions, I think that we can figure out a whole lot to keep us out of trouble. As a nation and as a people could keep us out of a lot of trouble. And the first question that I think is relevant to ask is, why this movement or why this cause? I think that any movement or cause that you think about joining, you should ask yourself the question, well, why this movement or why this cause? Number two, I think that you should ask the question is, well, who's leading this movement or who's leading this cause? And are they trustworthy? I think that those two right there, they're legitimate questions to ask about any kind of thing that you're going to join to put everything that you've got and pour everything that you've got in there. I think that you should ask a couple questions there. And then another one is it worth my time, my energy, my resources, and my life? So if you're pouring everything into it, is it really worth it? And that's an honest question that we should all ask about anything that we join or want to be a part of. And then the last thing that I would definitely ask is does that movement or cause have an eternal significance, and is it the truth? Because there's a lot of movements out there that just aren't the truth, and a lot of causes out there that just aren't the truth. And how is that going to affect you eternally? Eternally, these are questions that we as individuals, that we as Christians, that we as His church should be talking about. Okay, and this morning we should think about. And I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't think all movements or causes are bad. There's a lot of things that I give to in this community that I think are giving for a good reason and a good cause. And I'm willing to help that out because I think it's really impacting people's lives. But what you have to realize this morning, if we're going to spend our time and energy into something, we need to realize that really there's only really one great movement and one great cause. And that's called the church, His church. That's what it's called. That's the greatest movement. And you're going to have to wrap your mind around this movement that so many has tried to stop. But they've not been able to stop the greatest movement that we'll ever be a part of. It's the greatest movement that we will ever be a part of. And you know what? It started over 2,000 years ago. Jesus decided to step out of heaven, come to this earth, and He come and He lived a perfect life, was tempted like you and I, was willing to die, go to the cross and die, be put in a tomb, and was resurrected on the third day. I can't think of any greater cause that I'd ever want to be a part of than a movement of Jesus throughout our country, being a part of His church, because we know who's in charge of the church and who leads the church. Jesus is the one who leads the church. You guys are kind of just staring at me. Come on now. I'll get excited here in just a little bit. I'll be some hacking around the aisles here in just a little bit. Hang on. But the greatest movement that we've ever been a part of, and think about it. So last night I was at Rupp Arena. Yeah. Kansas, you know, lost. Yes, they did. But I was just sitting there and I was watching out over Rupp Arena. There's 20,000 something people there, you know, and just this mass movement of Big Blue Nation. It was just,
And you're just like, and people are on the edge of their seats. I went to a lot of games at Rupp Arena, but I had to stand up more last night than I ever. I felt like I was in a Catholic church. I was just like up and down. It was up and down all the time. They were standing up and down. And I was like, why? And people get on the edge of their seats for 10 dudes running up and down the court. And I sat and I tried to think about that. What if we got that excited? And I was in the stands, and my wife looked at me one time, and she said, "You're going to have to quit clapping so loud." I was like, "Honey, do you know why I'm clapping so loud?" I said, "I got to save my voice." I said, "So I'm not going to scream. I'm just going to clap really, really, really loud." Okay? So I saved my voice. I was thinking about his church. Okay? Preserve my voice. But you think about it, they just a mass movement. Everybody, there's people there that would run through a wall for Kentucky to win a ball game. And I'm just like, you know, it's exciting and all. But think about if we took that energy, 20,000 something people, and we applied that same energy and same mindset into the greatest cause and movement that this world will ever see. And that's his church, God's church, the one that he set up, he founded, he takes care of, that's going to move on through this land. Whether you're a part of it or not, his plan's going to go on. Amen. He's going to go on. You can jump on board and be a part of this all you want, or you can step back. But think about this. The greatest movement started by Jesus himself, and think about this. Why not be a part of a movement that has such a great cause? Why not be a part of it for Jesus' sake? Okay, or why not be a part of a movement for the grace of God? Okay, when you think about it, for Jesus' sake and the grace of God and being a part of something that's founded and that should get us excited. The church, it's time to wake up. It's time to acknowledge that, hey, we better get serious about what God wants us to do. He's called us to a big responsibility in his church to share the gospel with our friends, our neighbors, our family, anybody that we come in contact with. We need to be ready to share the gospel with individuals. This movement, well, is it founded on the right person? Well, let's look right here. Is it founded on the right person? It's founded on Jesus, because Ephesians 2:20 says this. It says that Christ is the cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone. It was talking about two groups of people that believed totally different. Jesus came in the midst and brought them together. He was the cornerstone. Do you understand how important the cornerstone is to any foundation, anything, any building that you're building, any movement that you think of? The cornerstone is the most important part. Jesus is the most important part of our faith. Without him, there is none of this. Without Jesus, we cannot get to the Father. Without his willingness, we just could not do it. It's the cornerstone. And think about this. So naturally, if we put a cornerstone in the right place, naturally, if we put everything lined up with that cornerstone, everything's going to already properly be where it needs to be. So if we put the cornerstone, it's Jesus, and we put all the stones on the side of that wall, it's going to be straight. It's going to be where it needs to be. Now, there's not two cornerstones. You can't lay down two cornerstones and try to build a jagged wall. It's just not going to work. But there's one cornerstone, and his name is Jesus, and we build that on him. But think about this, okay? So if we build our life on the cornerstone, which is Jesus, then things in life will probably line up and be the way that Jesus wants it to be. But if we don't put our life and trust and faith in Jesus, and we like to build not on the cornerstone, I understand why a lot of lives are messed up. I understand why people call me all the time saying my life is horrible. I don't know what's going on, what's happened, what's going on. Well, I'm like, have you built it on the cornerstone? Is everything that you do, is it built on the cornerstone? And there's only one cornerstone. And then it's the most important piece of this whole thing that we do, this thing that we call church and that we call his church. If there's no Jesus, there's none of this. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. Well, in this politically correct world, how dare I say that the only way to get to the Father is Jesus? Well, I'm saying it. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus, okay? That's the only way. You can't go any other way. You can't get all these studies. There isn't any other way to get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And we know that that is not a popular thing to say nowadays, because God forbid somebody gets offended if I talk about Jesus. Well, you know what? Thank God I got offended one day when a preacher preached me the truth. You know what I did about it? I come and prayed and got saved. I got offended. It didn't feel good. I didn't like what it felt like down on the inside. So guess what? I took care of it. I brought it to Jesus. He is my cornerstone, and he should be your cornerstone as well. Well, aren't religions all the same? Aren't they? Well, you know, we could line up everybody on here, and I think we ought to absolutely treat everybody with the utmost respect. I think that we shouldn't be troublemakers, but I do think that we should speak the truth. I think that we should need to tell people, well, so let's see, here's just an example. So are all religions the same? Because there's only one cornerstone, and his name is Jesus. Well, do you realize that Islam doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Guess what? We do. It's not the same. We believe that. Here's what, guess what? The Jewish faith, think of it, doesn't teach that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. We believe that. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So they're different. Buddhism doesn't believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. We believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. So I ask you the question, are all religions the same? No, there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone. If we'll build our life on him and we'll trust and have faith in him, he will help us every step of the way, because the church was founded on Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the cornerstone. He is the rock that the builders rejected. He is the rock of my salvation. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Through and by Jesus. How did you get saved? Through and by Jesus. It's the only way. Jesus loves you this morning. He is the cornerstone. So we talk, you know, this, talking about, thinking about a movement. What greater movement to be a part of than to be a part of the church? He is church. Where believers come together knowing who our cornerstone and our leader is, which is Jesus. And he's given us an opportunity in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. Asked me 15 years ago, if I'd have ended up in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, I'd have said, where's that? Where's that? But lo and behold, there's no place I would rather be, right here at Living Water Church in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, telling you about the greatest movement that this world has ever seen, telling you about a man that loved us enough, that loved you enough, that came to die for us and give us the eternal peace that we have down on the inside. What greater movement, what greater cause to be a part of than the movement of the church? You see, if you just take half the gospel, then there's no gospel. If you just take half of Jesus, then there's no Jesus. It says in the Bible that a wise man built his house upon a rock. It also said that a foolish man built his house upon the sand. Here's what foolish men are doing nowadays. They're trusting in their philosophy. They're trusting in their education. They're trusting in the things that they are involved in. They're trusting in their own knowledge. They're building on a sand. And I'm going to tell you, when the storms come, a raging in this life, how many of y'all ever been through a storm in your life? How many of y'all ever been in a storm? Did Jesus deliver you through that? He delivered you through that, didn't you? Well, glory be to God. It's because you found it on the cornerstone and you built your house upon the rock, which is Jesus. And there's a lot of people out here that gets washed to and fro when the storms of life come, because they're not founded on something. And that's being founded in the truth, the Word of God, that Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. He's the only way. Only way.
Build your house upon the rock. This movement, the church, it was laid out long, long, long before we ever got here. It was laid out there for us long before. And guess what? When we pass away, if this old world's still going on, it's going to continue on and on and on and on. They've tried to stop it. They tried to kill him. They tried to stop the church. But I'm going to tell you, my God can do anything that he wants to. If he's got a plan together, it's going to get accomplished. Guess what? We're going to win. We're going to win. How do you know? I've read the back of the book, and we're going to win. I'm going to tell you, there's one day that Jesus is coming back in the eastern clouds, and he's going to take his church, he's going to take us home, and glory be to God, it's because of his mercy and grace, and I trusted in that cornerstone that I'm able to say that I'm a child of the living God, and I'll get to go home with his church one day. And I hope and pray that you're there with me. I hope and pray that you're there with me. It's because of what Jesus has done that we've got this opportunity that we've got. Well, what is the purpose then? What's the purpose of all this? Ephesians, what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the gathering? What is the purpose of his church and stuff, this movement, this great cause that, guess what? I'll say that and I'll continue to say it again. You're a part of the greatest movement and the cause that this world will ever see. It's called his church. Jesus is our leader. He is our captain. He's our quarterback. He's the one that leads us out into every battle that we can possibly go through. And guess what? I'm confident, just like my brothers before me that came, I'm confident that the Word of God is the truth, the only truth, and I'll stand with that and I'll die with that because that's what's going to take me on to heaven. And it'll be the same thing for you. The same thing for you. Get excited about Jesus. So that Ephesians reads this. It reads, the purpose is to bring us out of darkness into light. Those who were far are brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. The purpose is to redeem and to forgive. Jesus gathered his people together so they can be redeemed and forgiven of this awful thing that's called sin. We've all got it. We all do it. We inherited it a long time ago. Thank you, Adam. A long time ago. But glory be to God, even in that, God still seen fit to send his son for us. Even when he knew mankind would turn their back on him, he still seen fit to send his son to die for us. I hope and pray, my heart's, I really hope and pray that if you don't know Jesus this morning and you've not ever been saved and you're not a part of God's church, the church, the one that Jesus is leading, and he's not your cornerstone, open pray you listen to him this morning. And you come and you get saved and you work it out with God this morning and you pray for him to forgive you because he will. He will. He'll forgive you. He loves you. You know, and that's the thing about Jesus is he loves you. A lot of times we'll come into church and we'll look out. No, I'm not done yet, okay? I'm going to step down. I'm feeling a little antsy this morning. But I may run aisles here in a second. You calm me down, okay? But think about this. You know, a lot of people, and I know I felt this way when I come and I sit in church and I was the individual that was lost there. There was others that were there too, but at that time, God spoke to me. You know, immediately I thought, well, all these others, they're just good people. They, you know, they smile all the time. I'm just so unworthy. I'm a sinner. How can God forgive me? Do you realize, so after I got saved, you realize that, dude, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Your sin that you commit is no different than the sin that I commit. You think, well, you know, in the world, in society today, we'll notch. Well, this sin's right here, and this sin's down here, and this sin's down here. I believe sin is sin, and God hates it. I believe he don't want anything to do with it. I believe that's what he let his son Jesus come and die for is sin. Sin is sin. Think of little sin, big sin. There's sin, okay? There's sin, and there's consequences for sin. And those consequences that we're all bound for a devil's hell if we don't get saved by the grace of God. So we need to be saved, and we need to realize that. But you're not sitting here alone. We are all dirty, filthy individuals that God loved us enough to save us. We're all that, every one of us. But glory be to God, I stand here redeemed and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ as you do.
And I can walk. You know what's great about this? He said, guess what? You're in my hands, I'm in my Father's, no man can pluck you out. Will I fall short in this life? Absolutely I will. But I'll tell you what, if I'm dead completely wrong about what the Word of God says, at the end of the time, will it really matter? If none of this is true, at the end of time, did I really lose anything? No, but guess what? Let's switch that. If all this is true and you don't do what this says, who misses out then? Who misses out then? So I would much rather look like a blooming idiot fool and laughed at like Noah. But guess what? It started raining. It sure did. It started raining when they thought that old man was an idiot. And guess what? But when God shut the door was shut. That was it. And he was safe on with his family, cruising along. That was the best cruise he ever took right there. Best cruise he ever took. What did he have to give for it? He just gave his life to Jesus. He committed his life to Jesus to build this big old boat out in the middle of nowhere when not one raindrop had ever fell from the sky. And boom, what happened? They all wanted to get on board when it's too late. Don't be that individual this morning. It's not too late. God's given us time right here in Mount Sterling, Kentucky at the 11:30 service right here. He's given you that opportunity. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't chance it anymore. I wouldn't chance it. But I would commit my life to Jesus Christ and tell him that, man, I want to surrender to you. I want to surrender. Ephesians goes on and talks about how that the stones were being built up. And here's how great this thing is. I'm glad we get to do this together. I'm glad, Rob, we get to do this together. This is good. This is good stuff. This is food for our soul. We get to do this life together. We get to do church together. Ephesians, it says, the stones being built together, you and I, we're stones being built together here, so God's glory will be revealed through us. Do you realize we are the stones that are built together for God's glory? For God's glory. The greatest cause and the greatest movement that this world will ever see is his church. The greatest thing that you could ever be a part of is being a part of his church. It's exciting to know that I'm a part of his church. The church was founded on the right person. For the right purpose. Carried out by Christ's people. It's carried out by us. God left us here. He put us in charge of this. Here, I'll lead you. Just follow me. Have a servant's heart. Reach out. Help people. Be a part of a movement. Tell people about this. We'll hashtag everything. Everything gets hashtagged. But what about hashtagging the greatest movement, the greatest cause that this world's ever seen? The hashtag in his church. We'll talk more about our things in this world and all these things that, look at this, I'm a part of this and I'm a part of that. Well, have you ever told anybody that you're a part of his church? The greatest movement that this world has ever seen. And I get to be a part of it. Not because of anything that I've done or that you've done, because of what Jesus done. He is the cornerstone. Look at this. It says, Acts 1:8 says this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Man, he's given us the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all feel the Holy Spirit in your presence this morning? Can you feel God coming into your heart this morning and speaking to you? Man, some of you, the Holy Spirit hit right in the face, you wouldn't know what it is. Wake up this morning. Come on. You're part of the greatest movement that God has ever set here on this earth. The greatest movement, the greatest cause, and you get to be a part of it. Be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Do you realize that Peter, this guy called Peter, he was a preacher, and he preached one day, and he preached about what we're preaching about today, Jesus. And when he preached, 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. That is unbelievable. But that same Jesus that Peter preached about is the same Jesus that we're preaching about today. Guess what, church? It's time to open your eyes. The lost are amongst us. There shouldn't a lost soul walk out of his church this morning without receiving a relationship and getting a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no excuses. It's time for us, the church, his church, to step up. Be excited about what God's given you, what he's let you be a part of. But he will skip a name. We'll jump around and we'll travel miles and miles to be a part of a teams and movements out here. But what about being a part of the greatest movement, the church? Getting excited about that. The greatest movement. It says in Acts 2:42, listen to this. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Here's what we have done. Everybody talks about discipleship. Here's what we have done with discipleship. We've taken discipleship and we've put 20 people in a room and they study about discipleship, and that's where it stays. Right here it tells me, I really believe that true discipleship is being obedient to the word. True discipleship is guess what? When it says love your neighbor, is actually loving your neighbor. When it says forgive them, you actually forgive them. You want to talk about something? I guess I love the knowledge that we learn in classes, but if we, the church, never apply it, what good does it do anybody? It's like we've packed all this knowledge in our mind, but we never spread it and share it with anybody. And God wants us to go out and spread this good news, this word that he's doing. Be obedient to what he's doing. Be a part of the church. Be a part of the church. Be obedient. God, he's called you into a greater thing that you get to be a part of. You get to be a part of this. We get to be excited about this. The greatest move in the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. So why is this movement, why is this call so, why is it so great? Why does it get you so excited, preacher? Think about this. I get to come and celebrate what Jesus has done in my life and express that and freely express that. I don't think you guys understand that we need each other. Dole, I need you, okay? I need you. I need you. Nathan, I need you. I don't think that we understand. Jake, I need you. We don't understand because we're part of something that's greater that we can far believe. Well, why do you need me? Why do you need me? I'm going to tell you why I need you. Because guess what? When I sit down at night and when I say my prayers, I see your babies. And I see my babies. And I see a mother church that needs to get down in prayer and start bearing these burdens for one another. My kid's a hot mess. Well, guess what? Let's be the church. Let's be there for one another. Spoon, I need you. I need you. Blake, I need you. I need you guys. I need you all here. I need you. Quit sitting on the sideline. I need you. I need you to do the sound. I need you to bang on the drums for Jesus. I need that. I need our teachers to be excited about what God is doing through the gospel. We need that because my little Ava needs salvation. Your babies need salvation. They need to get into this thing while this movement is crossing through our land. We need each other. I don't sit around, we don't gather in staff and just, hey, let's play cards today and checkers. No, we think about something that Grant told me when he hired me on here and the church brought me on. He told me two things. He said, John, there's two things that I never want you to forget. Being the 20th year in the ministry that God's placed me in, he called me in. He said, there's two things that I want you to forget because it'll get tough. He said, always make it about Jesus. And he said, always love the people. He said, do those two things. And when I started grasping that, this is it. This is why I do what I do. This is why I stand and try to preach to you Jesus, the cornerstone. Because you got babies that's going to need Jesus. They're going to need them. You can have all the records and stuff out here that you want and all the trophies that you want, but at the end of the day, when you look over my dead body, I don't want you to say, well, he was a decent preacher or he was a good guy or he was a Kentucky fan. I want you to know that I love Jesus and I had a relationship with him. So if you're sitting here at church this morning, I said, I need you. Guess what? You need me. We need each other. I think by all this nonsense that's going on in our world, I think you're about to see the waking up of a sleeping giant. And it's the greatest movement and cause that any individual could ever be a part of. You're going to see the church come alive. And you're going to see people stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be a part of that movement? Are you going to join that movement? Because guess what? You won't be in it by yourself. Amen. You won't be in it by yourself because we need each other. So there's four categories this morning. And you might be able to, hopefully one of these categories you can place yourself in. Think about this. So you say, man, this is a good fired up message. Man, it got me. I'm ready to go. And you're focused, okay? You're just the individual that, man, you're studying your word, you're praying, you're serving, you're doing what you need to do. And what I would encourage you this morning is during the invitation, here's what I would encourage you to do. Continue to do that. That's section one. Here's another area. And you think of yourself. Another area. Number two. Maybe you have just lost focus. Every once in a while, I have to reboot my phone. And I have to reboot my computer. Because every once in a while, it gets in a weird funk. This morning, you may be that church that's a part of his church that needs a rebooting in your life because you've allowed things to bring you down. And you need a reboot. That section one is ready and focused. Section two, we need a reboot. Section three, you're part of his church, but all of a sudden you've gotten yourself into a big mess. Your worry has controlled your life. Maybe some old habits, whether it be addiction of whatever, alcohol, drugs, has creeped its way back in. The big thing now is the internet. It's so easy to look at inappropriate things, so easy on the internet, and it's a big temptation for a lot of people. Maybe that's creeped back in your life. Maybe that's that church member that you are. Well, guess what? I told you we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. And the same Jesus that's my cornerstone is your cornerstone. The same Jesus that's the cornerstone for group one, group two, he's the same cornerstone for group three as well. But you've not lined it up with him. And maybe you need to respond this morning during invitation and come and say, man, I've messed up my life. I've messed it up, and I need to get that taken care of. And get back on board where you need to be, rowing this boat together. Or you may be in group four. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard God speak to you and say, man, that's me. I'm lost. If I died today, I'm not sure where I'd really go. And I feel God tugging at my heart. I need a relationship with him. The same corners. I said we're all stones. See how it lines up? Jesus is the cornerstone right there. You got group one, group two, group three. Group four, and they all line up with the greatest movement and the greatest cause that this world will ever see. I can't think of a better way that I'd ever rather want to spend my energy, my time, my resource, and my life than this movement that we call his church. So as we pray this morning, and as we stand, we need you guys to think, where are you at? And if you need salvation, please come. I'll pray with you. We'll pray with you right here. If your life's messed up, guess what? I've told many of them, I tell our youth, there is no conversation that surprises me anymore. Because I know it's sin. But you can get that straight this morning. How committed are you? How great of a cause and a movement is this to you? Is it important to you? Because if it is, let's show God. Let's show off for God this morning and give him the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, for your mercy, for your grace, for this thing that we call your church. the greatest movement, the greatest cause that any individual could ever be a part of, Lord. There's a lot of things out here in this world that we could get caught up in. But what greater thing here at Living Water Church this morning in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, to be a part of one of the biggest things that we'll ever see and feel in our life. I pray, God, for every individual here, the storms that they're facing. Lord, that for someone lost, that they need salvation this morning, that they'll come this morning during this service while you're calling in, as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, that you will touch their hearts and their life, and that they will come and receive this wonderful gift of salvation. Help us build our life on you, the cornerstone, the only way to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.